676, if you're using your hymn book tonight, The Lily of the Valley, on the verse number one. Sing it out now. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of the thousand to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see. All I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my savior. He tells me every hair I need to
for you being here this evening. Looking forward to a great time in God's house, and we're thankful for our guests that have come our way, and I'll introduce you to the Walls here in just a little bit. Brother and Miss Walls are our wonderful honored guests this evening, and I'll get to introduce them, and you'll get to love them in a quick hurry, I'm sure. But let me just go ahead and let you be seated, and I'll give you a couple of announcements, and we'll go over some prayer requests and get right into the service and cut out a little bit of the other things so that we can give the preacher that's come our way as much time as we can. And I want you to be praying for the fair booths that are going on, and if the folks were over there, Laura, they got a little shower a little bit ago, I'm sure, but why don't you be praying for the Amazing Grace booth, and then also the Buffalo Ridge booth, and praying the Lord would give us Holy Spirit power and boldness as we witness to people. And so please continue to pray about that the Lord would bless and we'd see people saved. Then also I want you to remind you that the Ladies Bible Study will begin September the 2nd, and there's a schedule that will continue every other Thursday through November the 11th, and these are wonderful, wonderful times. If ladies, if you're here today and you haven't signed up yet, I know Amy's got some books, I don't know what the time frame is on that, but I challenge you to get in there, and it's a wonderful, wonderful time, ladies. If you haven't signed up, they've got it in the morning, I think on a Thursday, and then the evening, and a wonderful time, so I challenge you to be in that, but you'll certainly have a good time. So be praying about those things, the Bible studies for the ladies, the fair booths, and we're so excited about what God is doing here. But those are a couple things. I want to change gears and go into some prayer requests and have you be praying for some folks that we need to lift up before the Lord. We're continuing to pray for Brother Andy Krause and his family. Of course, his dad went home to be with the Lord, and we're certainly keeping that family in our prayers. And then as we see Miss Judy down here, we're thankful for her, the Lord lifting her up physically, getting her back here. We're praying for her family and her daughters and son-in-laws and grandchildren, and as her husband and their dad went home to be with the Lord. So continue to keep them in your prayers. We're continuing to pray for Brother Bill Magnus. He's here somewhere, but still battling some blood clots, and so keep Brother Magnus in your prayers if you would. And then it's so good to see Miss Summer Scroggs. We're continuing to pray the Lord would just give her continued strength and help, and so keep her in your prayers as well. Mark Randolph's recovering from knee surgery and going through therapy and rehab, so keep Brother Mark in your prayers. And then we've got a host of other folks that we are praying for. Miss Pat Shaw, her shoulder surgery has been postponed, and we've got other things that we're praying for. Continue to pray for David Houghton, Miss Donna Pruitt's son-in-law down in Georgia, praying the Lord would strengthen and help in all of the medical issues that he's facing at this time. And so We want you to be praying for the family of Miss Eileen McCann as she went home to be with the Lord. Just got that word today. And so please pray for her family and that the Lord would comfort and bless them in a very special way. So we've got many things to pray for. We're continuing to pray, and almost all of you know we're praying for Nathan Foran over here in the hospital, that the Lord would just strengthen him and do a great, great work. And if you haven't been praying yet, then please put that on your list. Be praying for Nathan. The Lord would lift him up and strengthen he and Becca, but him especially, and continue to pray for Jennifer Armstrong, who's in the hospital as well, and keep her in your prayers. And so we just certainly want to lift one another up. Maybe you have an unspoken request this evening. You'd like to signify that. Lift a hand. The Lord knows. All right, we'll go to the Lord in prayer about those as well. And as some others, they count on us to pray. And let us take very seriously the ministry of prayer. So I'm going to ask the ladies if they just play something through, and then we'll conclude this part of the service here in just a little bit. You've got those prayer lists. There's also the prayer list in the blue one that you got on the way in. There's many folks in there. We're praying for the staff of the week, Brother Kermit and Brother Doug Deacons, as they do a great, great job on our buses, keeping them going, and I thank God for that. And we're praying for the bus of the week, Wade and Nikki Garber, Jesse Garber, and Carrie and Brother Leroy, and I want you to keep that bus in your prayers this week. And Deacon of the Week, Brother Wade Farmer and Miss Leslie, keep them in your prayers. And we're praying for our ministry of the week, our guest services, and Brother Larry and Linda Stover do a great job out there on Sundays and just trying to love people in as they come in this place. So I want you to pray for these different ministries. And then it's listed over there to pray for Christians in Afghanistan. And of course, you know that we need to. And there is a there's a ministry that Brother Edgar Fregali recommends, and it's listed in there. You can see it in your prayer list there, rememberthose.org. And certainly, I don't know, we don't know them personally, but we know Brother Fregali. And so if he's recommending, I'm sure that he's vetted them. And so that's something if you'd like to help with, and you certainly would encourage that. So we're praying for many of our missionaries that are lifted up there, the Sissons in the Philippines. We're praying for Mike Bordadora over in the Philippines as well. We're praying for the McLeans in Thailand. And so we certainly want to lift our good missionaries up to the Lord and asking God to bless them. And then over on the back, as I mentioned, Nathan Foran in the hospital and Jennifer Armstrong. And Harold Webb comes with Brother John Potter, and he's over for rehab now at Orchard View. So keep him in your prayers. Miss Shirley Cash, our shut-in of the week. And so we certainly want you to be praying, lifting these folks up in your prayers. Miss Corky DeBusk over at Four Oaks in Jonesboro, keep her in prayer as well. So we certainly have many, many folks to pray for, our military and our government officials, and what an important ministry of prayer. So I'm going to ask the ladies to play something through, and then at here just a moment or two, Brother Dan will come up and close this part of the service in prayer, and then we'll sing another song together, and let's go to the Lord now, though, at this time as we pray.
do need Thee every hour, every second of every minute of every day. And we thank You that we can call on You. And Lord, every one of these requests that were mentioned tonight, Lord, we turn them over to You. And we thank You by faith for what You're going to do with each and every one of these lives. We pray for those families that have recently suffered loss. Lord, we know that one day they have something to look forward to in heaven, as many of us do. So, Lord, we look forward to that time. We thank You for the hope that we have as believers in an almighty, all-powerful God. Thank You so much for Your protection. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for salvation. And Lord, thank You for the beautiful and wonderful blessing that it is to be able to communicate and pray. Thank You, Lord. Now we pray that You would be with us. Holy Spirit of God, please be with the message this evening. And Lord, I pray that You would be with us in what remains of this service. May everything give honor and glory to You. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's all stand. 209 in your hymn book. Till the storm passes by.
In the dark of the midnight,
life. 359 in your hymn book.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me know of the beauty.
Again, thank you. You may be seated. And I want to show a video this evening of a wonderful ministry, and you'll get to hear from the head of that, the pastor of the church. But Mount Pisgah Baptist Church in Oliver Springs, Tennessee, has the Mount Pisgah Printing Ministry, and they print the Word of God. And the video will tell some of the statistics of how many, and Brother Walls can finish up some of that as well. But it's a wonderful ministry, not to about an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes from right here, that has just been printing the Word of God for years and years, putting the gospel message, putting the Bible, the Word of God on page and sending it literally around the world. And I want you to get a little bit more familiar with the printing ministry. And so as they show this video, I trust it'll be informative, and then I'll come back up and introduce our speaker for this evening.
My name is H.B. Carney, and I've been here at the Mount Pisgah Baptist Church Printing Ministry since December of 1982. The Lord called me into the ministry back in February of 1981, and I decided that this is where God wanted me to be, and that's how I got here, and it's been a blessing ever since. The printing ministry started out in the basement of church, and then we moved into the bus garage, which was 4,000 square foot. Then in 2003, the Lord seemed fit that we were to increase our building, and we went to one that was 20,000 square foot, and we moved in here in July of 2003. And the reason was, we was doing tens of thousands of scriptures down there, and then with the equipment that we've purchased since we moved to this building, we've been able to do hundreds of thousands of scriptures because of people like you that have given donations to this ministry. I want to show you some equipment now that the Lord has given us in order to enhance our ministry and to make the ministry more efficient. This is our new color digital press. As you can see, we've been able to move in and do our own color covers here. The machine will run 10,000 an hour. The information is sent to the computer in the press, and then it makes its own plates, it lasers it on, and then they're ready to print. Behind me is the newest piece of equipment that we have purchased. It's a four-pocket binder. This is what's used to put the covers on the books that we have collated and got them ready to print. After they're bound, they will be taken to the trimmer. The reason we purchased a new binder is the old one that we had was completely out of date, and we were having a lot of problems with it, and it was cheaper to just go ahead and buy a new one than to keep fixing this one. Recently, we have started working with local new churches in the United States by sending them 10,000 John and Romans to reach their community at no cost. Over the last year, the Lord has allowed us to ship over 1 million pieces of scriptures to the foreign field for the missionaries to use. Just recently, Brother Lee, who raises money for our printing ministry, stopped by our church and told us an amazing story that we'd like to share with you.
Lee and I, we were in a missions conference down in Hinesville, Georgia in January. There was another missionary there. He was a missionary to the Jews, but he had just come out of Cuba. And so in my presentation to the church there, I mentioned about the 15,000 Bibles that were sent into Cuba. And by route of Nicaragua, I believe it was. He was sitting there, and after the service was over, he came up all excited. And he said, "I saw those Bibles." He said, "I just come out of Cuba." He said, "I saw those Bibles." He said, "I saw those Bibles, and they were being distributed to the soldiers in Cuba." And boy, you know, I'll tell you what, I ate that up. You know, you don't hear about that all the time. But here's a missionary saying, I saw them. And they were being delivered to the soldiers there in Cuba. And then he said this. He said, "I talked to one of the soldiers, and he told me that he had been saved because of the Bible that he got." So the money that you give for printing is not wasted, and it's not in vain. It's eternal. So I just thought that'd be a blessing. It was a blessing to me. And it was a blessing to the preacher. And so I'm glad for that. I saw those Bibles, and when he said that, I'll tell you what, it thrilled my heart.
I'd like to say thank you to all of our volunteers. Without them, we could do nothing, because they are really the backbone of this ministry. Without them collating, putting scriptures together, we'd not be able to do anything. And also for those who have donated over the years, and our churches that support us, and individuals, we want to say a big hearty thank you for all that you've done for us.
as not the one you asked, but I'm sure you can fill in the gap of what you need to tell them. There's a lot of videos we had to choose from. The ministry has just, and I hope we give some statistics about what the Lord has allowed the ministry to do and there at Mount Pisgah. And my relationship with Brother Walls goes back further than just Mount Pisgah. Long before I knew him, I knew of him. Of course, you know I'm from Ripley, West Virginia. And there was a church that was very well known as I was just getting into church work and getting on staff at Ripley Baptist Temple. Then a man had been gone for a long time from Vienna, which is right outside of Parkersburg. And it was a man that pastored the Briscoe Run Baptist Church. And right there on the side of the road up past Grand Central Mall was a church, good-sized church, that was known for just going anywhere and everywhere and getting souls for the Savior, and a large church and many people baptized and following the Lord. And so at pastoring that church when I was just a kid was a man named Garvin Walls. And he wasn't from Parkersburg, but he'd come to pastor that church and pastored for some years, and the Lord used him in a great and mighty way. And so, lo and behold, now 38 years ago, he came back down to his home in Tennessee and has been pastoring the Mount Pisgah Baptist Church. I've been there, beautiful auditorium, great campus, and Christian school, and the printing ministry, and just so much that's going on. And it's a wonderful thing to have Brother Walls with us tonight. And he has been in the battle. He is battle scarred, aren't you, Brother Walls? No, the Lord's brought him through. Come on up, please, and brought him through some health issues, and we thank God, some cancer issues, but the Lord has brought him through. Whenever he signs his Bible, if he still does, would sign it as Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. And the end of that says, "The Lord is my helper. I shall not fear what man shall do unto me." And praise the Lord for people like this. Just keep on serving the Lord. Brother Walls, why don't you come and preach to us and let everybody get to know you a little bit, and we're looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Pastor, God bless you. Thank you for this privilege and opportunity to be with you all. And we only got one night to get to liking each other, so I'm going to like you all right off the bat, okay? And so I like you all already. And if you want to reciprocate, you can. If you don't, you don't. Ain't nothing I can do about it. Isn't anything I can do about it. I ain't supposed to say ain't. All right. Now, I usually start out telling a joke because I like humor. I'm not going to do that tonight. But I'm going to tell you, there's three statements that have changed my life. I've been preaching for 56 years. Three statements have changed my life. I'm going to tell you two of them tonight. I was traveling some years ago up in Upper Michigan one night listening to some tapes as I was trying to keep myself awake. And someone told this story. Leonard Ravenhill was writing a letter. And he stuffed the letter in an envelope. And after he stuffed the letter in the envelope, he said, "You know, there's something else I should have put in that envelope." And he said, "I didn't do it." He said, "But I don't want to unseal it." So he said, "I'll just write this little note on the outside." Here's the note he wrote. "Are the things you're living for worth Christ dying for?" This got a hold of me. Years ago, I was attending pastor's school in Hammond, Indiana. And a missionary from the field named Bob Hughes was coming off the field. He was dying with cancer. The doctors had told him not to leave the hospital. He checked himself out of the hospital. He flew to Hammond, Indiana. He was going to address the preachers. There was about 5,000 preachers there. That's a mess, amen? And they had to help him get to the pulpit. He was on oxygen, and two men helped him get to the pulpit. He gets up to the pulpit. And you know, I know what he's going to say. He's going to say, "I'm dying of cancer. You all pray for me." That's what, you know, I accept he was going to say. Here's what he said. He said, they tell me I'm dying. He decided, "But I've decided to live till I die." Some people aren't living. They're living, but they're not living. Life is so brief, you best enjoy it. Amen? Thank you for being here tonight. You could have gone somewhere else. You could have done something else. You came tonight. Brother Fagali wants me to give you his regards. He told me to come this way. I've been his pastor for the last 15 years, and we've had a great time of traveling with him in different places. He just got back from the Middle East and had a great time there, and just wonderful. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you would, please. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And the pastor told me he always lets you all out by about 7:45 on Wednesday night, so I'm going to hurry. I didn't believe him either. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 2. If you're there, say amen. If you're not found it yet, act like you have. And just, if you will, stand with me, please. We'll have a good time if you'll let me, all right? So let's stand together, if you can. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1. Now therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus, and the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. Now therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, they may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If any man also strive for magistrates, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must first be partakers of the fruits. Consider what I say unto you, the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Wherefore I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, for the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It's a faithful saying, for if we were dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abides faithful, he cannot deny himself. Father, these folks have worked all day, some of them in there, no doubt, become weary. We travel some time to get here. We try to prepare for this. I can't be a blessing unless you'd help me. I didn't come to waste their time, and I pray the Spirit of God would visit with us. Encourage hearts. Make us a blessing, I pray, in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. You can be seated. My wife of 54 years, Gail over here, stand up just for a minute. She was my chauffeur tonight, getting me up here, all right? And I'm going to eat a lot of chocolate on the way home to stay awake till I get home, all right? 2 Timothy, we have Paul's final words to a young preacher boy, wanting to encourage him to stick with it and not be downhearted. And he's writing him this passage of Scripture. Throughout the years of pastoring, all these years, I've been called to the bedside of many people that are leaving this world and had them tell me many things. Some have confessed some things to me they did while they were many years ago, hoping to get them off their conscience. Some folks have said, I want you to tell some people something for me, and just different things. But the final words of someone have seemed more of an urgency about them, because we know the urgency of them trying to get everything out they want to. And here we have this Paul trying to help this young preacher boy, Timothy. And I want to talk to you about the Scriptures in a minute. We'll get there. But I want to tell you four things that Paul wants this young preacher boy to know. And it's four things I'd want you to know. Number one, first of all, God's soldiers can expect battles. Anything else you can know about the Scriptures, you've got to learn to endure your hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You can expect battles in your life. If anybody ever tells you, just get saved and all your problems are over, they've lied to you. Can I get a witness? Amen? Yeah, that's not true. You may have more battles after you come to know Christ with the conflict that we have with the world, the flesh, and the devil. There's no question about that. That's a very good possibility. There's battles that come to our lives. And too many Christians, though, and you heard people say this, I'm sure, and I'll say some things that you already know already. Too many Christians are like Alka-Seltzers. They drop in, fizzle out, and leave a bad taste behind. And you don't want to be that way. You don't want to be on the highway of the Christian life looking for the exit sign. You need to look for the finish line. And you're like, don't quit now. This is too early for us to stop. You'll learn to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I've had so many things through the years that have happened to me that I could tell you, and I'll try to tell you a few of them. I have a free book for you when you leave tonight. It's got some of these stories in it. Back there, just pick it up, and as you leave, if you want it. It's 52 of my favorite stories. I remember years ago, Pastor, we were getting ready to baptize two young boys, and these two boys had been adopted by a woman in our church named Gloria Kennedy. And these two young men had gotten saved, and now they're about maybe 10 years of age or so, and we're going to baptize them. So I'm up in the baptistry, and I'm introducing the boys, and one of them's in the water with me, and the other one's standing up on the side of the baptistry. And I'm talking about how I wonder if they've been adopted, and I look down, and the boy, he's gone. He's under the water. He's swimming under the water. So I grab him, and I said, I baptize him in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Is that what you do? Amen. This little boy, his brother, sitting on the side of the baptistry, he says, "Is it my time, preacher?" I said, "Yeah." He dove in like a frog. that like you dive in a swimming pool. I picked him up. We baptized. What I'm saying is we're still baptizing. Can I get a witness? Amen? And you just don't let battles stop you. You don't stop now. This is not the time to look back, turn back. This is the time for us to finish up, because this age we're living in, we're nearer home than we've ever been before. We just keep finishing. Can I get an amen? Come on, say amen. If you'll say amen quicker, I'll get done quicker. All right. Come on, say amen now. All right. So God's soldiers can expect battles. Secondly, God's scriptures are not bound. Paul said, I am bound. He said, in verse number 9, he said, but God's word isn't bound. Paul is locked up in prison unjustly. It's amazing that he doesn't fuss about it, quarrel about it. He doesn't try to defund the police. You with me? He said, okay. He said, I'm here. And I know I'm here. And he's not crying about it being unjust to him. He's there. He says, although they got me tied up, he said, they can't tie God's word up. He said, and I want to tell you something. You say what you want to, but preaching will get the job done. God's word will get the job done. That's why we publish the word of God when we're publishing it. We still have jail services. I've been going to jails for 54 years preaching and still trying to go. We're still getting, got buses running. We're still printing scripture. We printed a million scriptures every year and shipped them over the last 3 years. That's 3 million. We printed almost 30 million scriptures throughout these 40 some years of printing. This dear gentleman over here just told me about his parents and on a mission field had John's and Romans we sent to him years ago. And so I'm just saying the word of God will get the job done. In the catacombs of Rome, those miles and miles of there, one statement on there was found more than any other: God's word is not bound. John Bunyan, put in prison, wrote Pilgrim's Progress, and he had preached to those guys standing outside his cell, and finally they got to build a wall so he couldn't see him. He kept preaching because he knew God's word was not bound. It'll get the job done. It'll get the job done. Robert Ingersoll one day stood and said, within 15 years, the Bible will be in the morgue. 15 years passed, he was in the morgue, and his home today is used to print God's word. Amen? Because God's word is not bound. Years ago, Pastor, I'd preached a message on, I'd heard someone else preach it, and I thought it was a good outline. I preach it. I make no bones about that. Someone said, when are you going to preach a better sermon? He said, when I hear one. Amen. And so I preached on the white stone. And man, the guy I heard preach that message, I said, boy, that is good. I preached it, and I laid an egg big enough to hatch a dinosaur. It was awful. I'll tell you how awful it was. Usually after every service, my wife will tell me that she either liked it or she won't, or you know, she'll make some comment about it. That was okay, or it was good. You know, she didn't say nothing. So I wait till the meal's over, hoping that she'd say something nice about it, or, you know. So finally, I just asked her, I said, how was it this morning? She said, it wasn't your finest moment. And man, I tell you, I was so discouraged. Listen, I've quit. I don't know how many Sunday mornings I've quit and tried it on Sunday night and kept going. Amen. But we're on television. We've been on television for 35 years at our place. And we did it years ago for a certain reason. But we've been on there for 35 years. And about what we do, we're a 2-week delay. That morning when I preached on the white stone, I gave out a white stone, a little white stone I'd gotten. Bought several of them. Gave out to our folks. And a lady called me and said, my brother-in-law and his wife wants to talk with you. Said, would you, my sister and my brother-in-law want to talk with you. Said, can you go by and see him? I said, yes. I go by his house, and he's got this little white rock in a box, in a little picture frame. He said, the sermon that changed my life, and had that white stone in there. He had heard that message. He had got saved. His wife got saved. They came to church, and I baptized both of them. See, what it is, the word of God is not bound. You may think in your Sunday school class sometime when you're through, you say, what in the world did I say? But God's word not bound. And sure, preacher, I'm sure there's times you've walked away and said, what in the world was that about? And I have more than once. But thank God, God's word is not bound. 500,000 scriptures are sitting in Venezuela. We put it there and helped start 20-some churches. Almost over 500,000 in North Korea. That are in China being smuggled into North Korea. And you'd be surprised how they get them in there. It's amazing. It's an amazing thing. All around the world, I preach in the underground churches. And I've been to Iraq, preached there, Cuba, those underground churches. It's amazing. But the word of God gets the job done. And that's why we want to encourage you. If you could possibly, in any way, if the Lord would let you do it. You know, for one quarter, you can give a John Romans. And a John Romans in a marked edition just has somebody to get saved. It has encouragement things in the back of it. A New Testament for $1. A whole Bible for $3. And Brother Tom Green with Direct Line Ministries, which someone told me here they'd worked with him for a while. Where are you, sir? You in here? Where are you? Okay. I saw a guy coming in. I spoke to him. And he's the one that does the shipping for us. And we get these Bibles everywhere around the world. Get to give them to people. That's what you can do. Let me ask you a question. You remember when Israel came out of Egypt bondage? And they spoiled the Egyptians and they gave them some money or jewels? Can you tell me what they did with that money when they got in the wilderness? What did they do with it? Now just think, you know, what did they do with it? They built a tabernacle, right? That's where they got that money from, for all that gold and stuff they put in that tabernacle, right? Come on, go like this. Yes, right. Go like this. That's right. But they did something else with it. Some of them built a golden calf, and it was all wasted. And you can do what you want to with your finances. You can either waste it or you put it in something eternal. It's in your hands. This man and woman, the woman had a cat that she liked so much. Man, she loved that cat. And one day she had to go to town and she said, "Honey, please make sure that nothing happens to my cat." And he said, "Okay, I'm my best to do that." Well, sure enough, she wasn't gone too long and the cat disappeared. Well, no, I'm sorry, it didn't disappear. It actually got angry at him and started bothering him, and he threw something at his accident and it killed the cat. So he takes the cat out in the woods, deep out in the woods, and he buries it. His wife comes home. She didn't say anything for a few hours, and finally she said, "Honey, have you seen my cat?" He said, "Honey, I'm sure that cat will show up somewhere. I'm sure it will." So about a week passed, and man, she's just crying her eyes out, and he says, "I'll tell you what I'll do, honey. I'm going to put up a $500 reward." Said, "If anybody discovers that cat and brings it home," said, "I'll give them $500. She said, "Well, honey, that's awful sweet of you." Said, "Thank you so much. You're so kind." And so another week passed away. The cat still didn't show up. And he said, "Honey, tell me what I'm going to do. I mean, all this time's passed now. The cat's probably not going to be showing up anyway, right?" He said, "I'm going to put an ad in the paper, $1,000 for return of that cat." She said, "Honey," said, "you're so precious," said, you're so wonderful." The neighbor came over and said, "Sir, I can't believe how kind you are about that cat." He said, "Listen, when you know what I know, you can afford to be generous." And I want to tell you, when you know what I know about giving to God's work, you can afford to be generous. Can you not? One more thought about this, about the Word of God, and I'll give you the last 2 points. One Sunday night following a service, there was a little commotion on the left of where I was preaching from. And someone came and said, "You better come over here, Pastor." I said, "We've got some Jehovah's Witnesses that have come down here and they're trying to cause a little disturbance." So I went over, spoke to them, said, "Come back to my office." They came back to my office and we sat down for a few minutes. And I said, "Now, I want you to know you're welcome to come to our church. But I said, you're not welcome to spread discord while you're here or spread what you teach while you're here, but you're welcome to come." Few more words were said, and I said, "I'll tell you what, you wouldn't even have a Jehovah's Witness Bible if it hadn't been for you changing your text in 1951. They had to change their Bible in 1951 because in 1950 their verse John 1:1 read like ours does: "In the beginning was the Word, was with God, and the Word is God." But they had to change it to "is a God," because they couldn't have Jesus Christ being God's Son. And I said, "You had to change your Bible from God to you change yours from the God to a God." And the man said, "It doesn't matter, a or the." And I said, "Well, I don't think your wife is a theologian, but I'm going to let your wife answer this question, and I'll go with what she says." I looked at his wife and I said, "You want to be a wife or the wife?" We settled the issue. Can I get a witness? This is amen. This is old me. Hadn't got over this one yet. We're here. Two things. God's soldiers can expect battles. God's scripture is not bound. Third thing I want to tell you is, look at with me, if you would please, in verse number 8. "Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel." God's son's not buried. You know, excuse me now. I'm just speaking to you. I have nothing I want to fuss with you about anything. Well, boy, sometimes we don't act like God's alive, do we? Preacher, I mean, sir, how long, you've been leading singing a long time? 20 years? Sometimes it feels like you're trying to pull teeth. And they're not been numbed. Come on. Oh, how I love Jesus. Now, I know you can't be happy all the time. I realize that. All of us have sorrows and trouble. But you can, at least you can tell your face you're happy. Come on. Should Christians be the happiest people in the world? Come on. What do we have to look? Listen, the best thing going to happen to us, we're going to go to heaven. Now, I'm not trying to be stupid about this or crazy about it. I think you ought to do everything you can to protect yourself and be safe in all the situation we're living through. But we do know Christ, don't we? And he, come on, is he alive and well? Is he as much alive on Wednesday night as he is Sunday morning and Sunday nights? Come on, yes, he is. Yes, he is. And I'm not trying to push anything out, but God's Son is not buried. Every battle you face, God's Son is not buried. Every heartache, God's Son's not buried. Every time the task seems impossible, remember, God's Son's not buried. Every time it seems like their ends won't meet, remember, God's Son's not buried. When you've lost a loved one and gone to the cemetery, God's Son's not buried. When it seems like everyone else has forsaken you, and God's Son not buried. When you reach your golden years and it's not as much gold as you thought it would be, God's Son is not buried. When your parents are divorced, God's Son's not buried. When the doctor says cancer, God's Son's not buried. When your kids walk away from you, God's Son's not buried. Old age is stealing on, God's Son's not buried. Your dreams have turned to nightmares, God's Son's not buried. Your plans falling apart, he hasn't. Your money's run out, but he hasn't. The load seems beyond all you can carry, but thank God, God's Son is not buried. You have that point? If you do, I'll skip on the next. If you don't, I'll deal with this a little bit more. You have that point? Is he alive? Is he well? Is he able? Can he still revive America? You better believe he can. If he could take a valley full of dry bones, there's still hope for us. Boy, they're running good, aren't they? I'm proud of y'all. Some folks, it takes two nights to get that over. Last thing. It's 15 minutes late, preacher. Last thing. We're doing good, aren't we? Yeah. Don't get your shoes on, ladies. God's soldiers can expect battles. God's scriptures aren't bound. God's Son's not buried. God's servants don't have to become bitter. If we suffer with him, we'll reign with him. So many times it's so easy to become bitter. I preached to a bunch of preachers yesterday, and I have the sense or the feel of many of them that they feel like rejection because of the COVID situation. Folks won't come to church. They're taking it in a different way than they should, and it just hurts, you know. And I was just trying to help those preachers and have them out and give them some good encouragement, fussing them a little bit for being such sissies. I read a book some days ago called, and I don't suggest you read this book. It's called Modern Day Warriors. You can only read about a chapter a day. When I read of that Marine that was laying there with a tourniquet on his leg, holding what was left of his leg and his arm that was still attached to his body, still fighting. And I said to myself, you wimp. You sissy. I'm talking to me, I'm talking to you. Fight on. Keep going. You don't have to become bitter. So easy. I think it was about, 5 years ago, maybe it might have been 6. I'd always go to the doctor to get a physical. I want to live. I've outlived all my folks. Most of my folks die at 59, 60. I'm 77. They die with health problems. I went to the doctor, had my physical, went home, and about 3 days later, he called me and said, you need to come back in and see me. He said, bring your wife with you. And I go back to see him. He says, well, there's something wrong with your blood work. He said, you need to see a urologist. He said, we think you have cancer. To be honest with me, when I first heard it, at that point, well, it could be or it couldn't be, right? I go to a urologist and they do these tests on me and all this stuff. And he calls me in and said, you got cancer. And I broke down. I wept. My wife was with me. He said, you have the aggressive kind. And he said, I suggest surgery immediately. And I said, I'm going to take a couple of days, doctor, and think about it. Pray about it. I did, and I decided not to have the surgery. I decided to go another route of radiation. So I decided to take 39 radiation treatments for cancer. I asked the doctor, I said, Doc, I said, now, I'm taking this. And I said, what kind of effect will it have upon me? He said, number 1, said, you're going to be fatigued. You'll be tired. And I said something kind of crazy. I said, that's wonderful. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, the Bible says when I'm weak, I'm strong. In 39 radiation treatments in all those weeks, I missed one day without work. Didn't miss any preaching applications. He said, well, there's something else you got to take. You got to take hormone shots. And I said, what will that do to you? He said, well, that'll give you hot flashes. He said, you'll probably say some things that you don't mean to say. I said something strange to him again. I said, that's wonderful. He said, what do you mean? I said, I've got some folks I've been wanting to tell off for a long time. I said, I can tell them off now and blame it on the medicine. Amen? Let me tell you something funny. They had to do a bone scan on me to make sure it hadn't spread somewhere else. And I'm claustrophobic. So they said, well, we can give you something that'll help you. They gave me 3 Valiums. I was as high as a kite. And they said we had a good time that day, but I don't remember it. A lady said after I come out of the machine, she said, I said to her, ma'am, where do you go to church at? I'm glad I didn't say something else. She told me where she went, and I said, well, you can get forgiveness for that. She went to another church beside Mount Pisgah, and I said, you get forgiveness for that. She told me. But you don't have to be bitter. God's good through it all. Amen. He's just good. He's just good. I say this often, and I say it, and hopefully you'll get the response from it. We have 5 children. All of them are boys, but 3. You're doing good. You folks catch on quick up here. I'm surprised. These northern Tennesseans. We have 12 grandchildren. We're blessed. All of them come to our church. All of them are involved in ministry at our church. So we're blessed. 3-year-old Reagan, one day, I have a treadmill out. I try to walk a little bit. I had a serious accident 3 years ago. But anyway, I tried to do a treadmill and elliptical and a bicycle. The only reason I do is I want to be able to eat more ice cream. I'm chasing a rabbit, preacher. excuse me, I'll get this right. You know what my favorite ice cream is? Gallon. You won't remember a cotton picking thing I preached, but you'll remember that. So I'm in there one day, and here's a little three-year-old Gigi, Reagan comes around the corner, and there's a five-gallon bottle of water standing there. She starts pulling that water out of the building. And I said, leave that alone, Reagan. No. 3 years old, like our grandmother. No. No. She keeps pulling. She finally pulls it out the door and falls down a little step by that high. I said, what are you doing? She said, Gigi, which is her, said she wanted some water. Said, go up there to the exercise room and get it. And she didn't realize right next to that big bottle of water were those 16 ounces that Gigi wanted. She no longer said that. And I started crying to myself. The Lord said, that's just like you, preacher. Said, you're oftentimes in your life, you're trying to carry some things I never asked you to carry. You ever do that? I got two or three more stories, preacher. I'll tell one. That'll be enough. I got two, so I'll hurry. Every Sunday night at church, I live about 3.5 miles from the church. I'll take about 15 minutes to drive home because I'll get my cell phone out. Even though I've seen all of my kids and most of my grandkids that day, I will call them and tell them, I want you to know I love you today. Well, I did that, and our children got older and they moved away to college, our grandkids did. After a few months of one of them being a freshman in college, after a few months, one Sunday night she called me. She said, Papa, said, I miss those phone calls on Sunday night. Said, can you add me to your phone list? And sometimes we just need to get around the Lord and just tell him we love him. I tell you what he is. He's a wonderful Savior, isn't he? Wonderful Savior. We have the message. Hope that the Lord will speak to your hearts about helping if it's possible. But you do what God wants you to do. One more story. I'm done. I have a brother. His name was Tommy. He had mental retardation when he was 5 years of age. He got a high fever and it affected him and gave him mental retardation. He went through the ninth grade, but a lot of people back then, I don't know how it is, but they made fun of him, and I got in more fights with my brother Tommy than anything. Didn't appreciate them doing that. And Tommy stayed home, didn't go any place hardly ever. Mother kept him after my dad died in 1975, and Mom kept him for many years after that. And Mom developed bone cancer. And I thought it's time for me to step up. It was 1985 when she developed bone cancer. I said, it's time for me to step up to the plate and go get Tommy and care for him. Went down to get him, and Tommy couldn't care for himself, and he couldn't go to the bathroom like you need to. And I went downstairs to get him at Mom's house and going to take him over to our house, the parsonage, the church provided for us. Went down to get him, had to get in, pick him up, take him in a shower and give him a shower and dress him, you know. I get him in my car, and he couldn't talk plain. I've got him in my car and I'm heading up to the house. He said, where are we going? I said, over to my house. Who gonna feed me? I said, I am. I should have said my wife and kids. They did for 9 years. He said, who gonna take care of me? I said, I am. Who gonna take me to the doctor? I am. I brought him to the house, got him out, walked him in, got him inside the room where we were gonna be staying. I got back out in my car and sat and relived that for a few minutes. I remember the day when I was lost in the filth of my sins and ungodliness. But thank God Jesus came by my way. Got in where I was at. Washed me in his blood. In these last 56 years, he's been taking me over to his place. On the way a few times, I said, who's going to take care of me? Guess what the response is? I am. Who's going to care for me? I am. He's just a wonderful Savior.
Well, preacher, one more minute. One more story? Is it all right? If you didn't say yes, if not, I won't. Okay.
Have you ever heard? Have you ever seen the movie Ben Hur? I watched it some time back. Never seen it before. During the making of the movie Ben Hur, the first one that was made, Charlton Heston was the main actor. And the director of the movie came to Charlton Heston and said, "There's a chariot race going on," and said, "You need to be in that chariot race." He said, "I don't want a stunt man. I want you in that race. I don't want a stunt man." And Charlton Heston said, "I've never driven a chariot in my life." And the director said, "You've got 3 weeks to learn." Charlton Heston goes away, comes back in 3 weeks, and he tells the man this. He says, "I can stay in the chariot. I'm not sure I can win." And the director said, "You stay in the chariot. I'll see to it you win." And that's what God says to you tonight. You folks here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, Pastor Herdman, you stay in the chariot. He'll see to it you win. You're gracious people. You're kind. Thanks for listening to me, preacher.
Well, praise the Lord for Brother Walls, and he's been a great friend and a great inspiration as far as what the Lord has used him to do over there at the church. And then, of course, close to my home, not a half hour from where Mom and Dad live. And we're thankful for this ministry, and then thankful now for what he's done at Mount Pisgah. And so we're just going to have an invitation tonight, and he didn't get into a lot of, maybe we'll have him come back sometime and tell you some of the things about the ministry that's there, but I wanted you to meet a wonderful, wonderful man of God, and Brother Walls is just that. So I'm going to ask the ladies, if they don't mind, to slip to the instruments and just play something through, and I wanted to do a couple things. Number one, pray for his ministry. Pray for the Mount Pisgah Baptist Church printing ministry, that they would continue now a million scripture portions a year. And we're going to pray that the Lord just continues to bless that ministry and get the Word of God out. And I certainly, we have the Lord's promise of His blessings upon those that get His Word out. And so we want to pray for that ministry. I want you to pray for the Walls as they head back over to home tonight. And then I want you to pray again for our church and our missions, our grace, faith promise, grace giving missions month, that we might see what the Lord would do here through our church at Buffalo Ridge. So Lord, bless us now as our prayer. We certainly want to give you glory and thank you. And Lord, we want to leave everyone enough time to just do business with you. Lord, perhaps there's somebody here with a heavy heart. And Lord, maybe one of those, you've pierced somebody tonight. Maybe they too are like Brother Walls was mentioning. We're questioning, Lord, who's going to take care of us? And Lord, I pray that you quietly whisper to somebody, "I am." And Lord, maybe there's someone here that they've been under a heavy, heavy load, and tonight they're reminded again that our Savior is alive. He's not buried. He's alive. You are, dear Lord, and we're thankful for the victory through that. Lord, however you've ministered to our hearts, I pray that we would seal it tonight by acknowledging it and thanking you for it, and I pray that you would continue to bless us now in Jesus' name. Would you stand together as the ladies play? If God speaks to your heart, I invite you to just do business with Him. You're welcome to come to the altar. If you need somebody to pray with, I'll be watching and be glad to do that. If you're here tonight, you're not sure that you're saved, then we certainly invite you to come just down to the altar right in front of where I'm at, and I'll take a Bible and show you how you can be sure heaven's your home. You heard much about the promises of God and the help of God and the presence of God. My friend, it is real. The Lord will not leave us comfortless. As I mentioned, Brother Walls, the verse that he often quotes is, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me." And I trust that you've been blessed tonight. This altar's open for you. Whatever your need is, I pray you do business with him. Lord, thank you for this time to be in your house. Thank you for now a new friend that many of the folks have met tonight. And thank you for what Brother Walls has been to me, dear Lord, encouragement. And I thank you for that. Pray that you bless he and his dear wife. Pray that you bless the church over there in the Christian school and the printing ministry, dear Lord. I just pray that you would continue to let them reach folks for you. And we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. May look this way. Thank you for being in church this evening. And I trust that before you leave, you'll pick up one of the booklets that Brother Walls brought with him there on the table right behind the usher's booth there in the lobby. And those are free. Please take one. I trust it'll be a blessing to you. And continue to pray for those folks at the fair. Lord, we give them boldness as soul winners and see people saved and many folks turn to Christ. And so thank you so much for being in church tonight. God bless you. You're dismissed.